Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Positive Radio with your host, Charmaine Hammond. Every Saturday at 2 p.m. PST, 3 p.m. MST, Charmaine will interview four PawsUp guests in the pet world. Positive Radio brings together pet experts, authors in the pet industry, pet businesses, pet and rescue organizations, and all of us pet lovers. Charmaine is a professional speaker and best-selling author of On Toby's Terms, soon to be a major motion picture, and Toby the Pet Therapy Dog children's series. You can find out more about Charmaine's books and to inquire about her speaking at one of your events at www.ontobysterms.com. Make sure to sign up for Charmaine's blog and newsletter at www.hammondgroup.biz. Grab a notepad, pen, and get ready to take in some of the most positive stories and tips you will ever hear with Charmaine Hammond.
Hello, everyone. We're here tonight for another episode of Positive Radio, All Things Pets. I really enjoy Tuesdays because I get the opportunity to meet some of the most interesting people from around the world. And once again, I met tonight's guest, Margot, on the internet years ago. This would not have been the case, but it's great. Margot actually reached out to me, which I love when guests do that. So let me introduce our guest, and then we're going to dive right in. I really am excited about what Margot's going to talk about tonight. One of the topics she's going to speak on is how to make your rescue dog feel comfortable in your home, how to help them adjust, things that you can do to make your dog feel welcome and feel right at home. And then we're going to end the show talking about how to be the best pet parent ever. And I'm going to take really good notes on that because I want to check off every tip and be in the category of best pet parent ever. So Margot Ahlquist is the creator of Paws to Talk. Now, all you animal lovers, you know how we spell the word paws, right? P-A-W. Paws to Talk. And this started as an advice blog, which has now grown into a life coaching business. Margot's award-winning blog is written in the voices of her two standard poodles, Bella and Dee Dee. And prior to her work on Paws to Talk, Margot worked for over 8 years as a writer, a researcher, and producer in the television industry. She has a bachelor's degree from Syracuse University, Newhouse School of Communications, and continues her life coaching education at Coach U. If you're at your website right now, or if not, mark this website down, pawstotalk.com, pawstotalk.com. Welcome to the show, Margot.
Oh, thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, you and I, as if I need to spell pause to talk, but sometimes people do spell it P-A-U-S-E.
Yes.
So pawstotalk.com. I love your website, by the way. It's fun, it's engaging, it's lively.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it's really, it's a passion of mine to do the website. So thank you. I'm glad you like it.
Well, great information on there. And, you know, a lot of times, rescue families, pet parents, that's what they're seeking is information. And so I love to be able to share my guest website as a source of information, guidance, and assistance. Now, we're going to start talking about helping your rescue dog feel comfortable in your home, and then we'll talk about how to be the best pet parent ever later on.
Yes.
So what are some of the things that families ought to be doing as they're bringing that rescue pet into their home? What can they specifically do?
Well, you know, I've taken all this information from my experience. Bella and Dee Dee, who are, you know, the main contributors and faces you'll see on my site, they've been in our family for a while, but we recently, within the past year, added Toby, who's also a poodle, and he does some guest appearances on the site as well, and he is a rescue dog. So, learning from adjusting Toby to a new home and everything, I think for starters, it is so important to know what you are getting into when you decide to get a rescue dog. It's fantastic if you've made the commitment to get a rescue dog. There are so many excellent resources on the web, to find rescue dogs that will point you to your local shelters, as we know. But it's really important to study and be aware of the dog's behavior, the dog's history as much as possible, any medical problems, all of that before bringing the dog into your home. That's key.
That is key, and I can attest to that. And I love the fact that you have a Toby in your home, because Toby was the name of our rescue dog. He was a Chesapeake Bay Retriever, so I'm a big Toby Toby fan. He was a rescue, and you know what? I've got to be honest. I was so in love with this dog that I was committed from the get-go. But he came to us with issues. You know, he was actually on Prozac, and which I didn't even know they could prescribe for an animal, but Prozac and antidepressants and anti-anxiety pills for dogs, and he had a lot of issues. So hindsight, the big learning for us, we would never have changed our mind, and Toby would have been with our family anyhow because I was deeply in love. But paying more attention to those little warning signs would have been really important. So I love what you're talking about, researching the breed, understanding the medical and behavioral issues. Great study.
Absolutely. That's right. Yeah, it's. I can't stress it enough. You know, you really, the last thing you want is the dog to not fit into your home and the dog to have to go elsewhere. You know, you really want to know what you're dealing with. And this is a lifelong commitment. You know, you want to have this dog in your home forever, you know, until, you know, the end of time if possible. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to know what you're getting into. Also, you know, when you're bringing a rescue dog home, if you can, and it's tough because people are busy, but try to take some time off from work, a week, you know, a few days even, just to be there for the dog. The dog will be in a new home. The dog will be out of the shelter environment where it was probably with a lot of other dogs in the pack mentality. Now it's in this strange place, potentially, you know, alone. So it, I think that it's also very important, if you can, to be there so that you can, you know, comfort the dog and you can adjust to the dog and the dog can adjust to you as well.
Beautiful. Yeah, that is so important. I mean, I always try and think of it from this animal's perspective. You know, if I could be in their head, what would they be thinking? And so you imagine going to a new place with strangers, even though they love you to pieces. I mean, it still is a new environment, new noises, new smells, new everything. And that adjustment can be really tough, especially for some folks that work in rescue and shelters. You know, they've shared stories with me that some of the dogs have gone through multiple families before they find their forever home. So, I mean, I can imagine the anxiety that could be going on for some of these animals.
That's absolutely right. It's so true. I mean, it's really, I mean, think about it, if you were moving from, you know, into a completely different environment without your family, you know, without what the food you're used to, all of that. I mean, you would, us as humans, we would be anxious too. So you've really got to think about, you know, what the dog's going through and try to make the adjustment as seamless as possible. And being there helps. Another thing, which, you know, we did with Toby, is he had this chew toy that he was given while he was in the shelter, and he loved it. So, of course, you know, I brought it, we brought it home with us, and that was something that allowed him to feel comfortable because even though the shelter wasn't a happy place, it was something he was used to, and we still have this chew toy. I mean, it was a hoof, like a pig hoof or something. It was very robust. So it's still, you know, it's still being kicked around the house today by all the dogs. But, you know, he loved that, and he would go to that the first few nights and chew on it. It was very calming for him. So see if there is something that an object that the dog has bonded to while it's been in the shelter, and ask if you can take it with you so that at least it has, the dog has something familiar with it. Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, I think, you know, you think of little children, how when they go to visit relatives or they're going to be staying with a babysitter, sometimes for children their comfort is their stuffed animal or their blankie.
Oh,
so
yes.
No different
yes.
than the chew toy for the dog.
Yeah, that's so true. Yep, it's the same concept. It really is. So, yeah.
Wow. Anything else that foster families should be doing as they bring this wonderful new animal into their home, help them adjust?
Yes. From personal experience, but also from other, you know, rescue dog parents that I've spoken to, it is so crucial, and I think this might be one of the more important points that we talk about tonight, it's so important to get the dog on a routine. Decide what time you are going to feed him or her breakfast. Decide when the walks are going to happen. Decide when the dinner is going to happen. Really think ahead of time, you know, when these things are going to take place, because the quicker the dog gets on a routine, the quicker the dog is going to feel more comfortable. And I know when we brought Toby home, you know, I had decided, okay, you know, I usually get up around 7 a.m. The dog is going to get up at 7 a.m., have breakfast. We're going to walk at 8 a.m., you know. It just, you know, you build it in. And you see how things fit in with your life, but you also see, you know, how the dog reacts as well. But I think it is so completely crucial to get a routine down and stick to it as much as possible each day.
That's a great suggestion. We just brought a brand new forever pet into our family a month ago, and that's one of the things we've really realized. He's a puppy. He's a year old, but he's a 94-pound dog, so he's sort of like this little guy in a big dog body. And so you look at him, and you have to keep remembering that he's just a puppy. He's learning. And we're finding that the tighter we stick to our routine, just like you suggested, Margo, it seems like the quicker he's adjusting, that he just knows what comes next.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's just dogs, you know, they love a routine as much as they're really incredibly, you know, independent in some ways and smart and unique animals. There's no doubt about it. They are creatures of habit, just like us humans are, really.
Yeah.
right. We like a routine. It makes us feel comfortable. So, yeah, that's really important. You know, another thing that I have done, and, you know, this might not be the most attractive thing to do, but I left, especially when I had to, you know, go back to work. I took a week off when Toby came home, and then, you know, I had to go back to work, and my family members, you know, we all had to go back to work. So I left on his bed. I would leave, you know, a dirty T-shirt or, you know, maybe some pants that I had worn.
Right.
And it's not the most attractive thing, but they love your scent.
Right.
Especially if they've gotten used to you and your scent. If you've been home, you know, getting them acclimated, leaving something on the place where they lay, their bed, you know, maybe it's a special place on the carpet, maybe it's your bed if they lay there, with your scent on it will really help, I think, because it's all about comfort again.
Yes.
And yeah, so that's another thing that really worked wonders with our Toby. So, yeah.
Great suggestion. I never thought of that. Now I'm kind of chuckling to myself. Maybe that explains why our dog used to empty the laundry basket when I was at work.
That's right.
He had it figured out. I just missed all the clues, right?
Right.
So, is there anything else that people should be doing when they're returning to work to help their rescue dog feel comfortable in the home?
Yeah, you know, it's so common for rescue dogs to have separation anxiety.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's very, again, it's about routine. I have, done a certain routine with Toby, and he's gotten to the point now, almost a year in, where he doesn't even need it. But there was a time when he did need it. So I would take a Kong, which is, you can find it almost any pet store, and stuff it with treats. Sometimes I would freeze them, so he would really have to work. And so then I would, get ready, make sure he had been exercised before, and exercise is just so crucial. So we will have gone on our walk, then I would get ready for work, and put down the Kong in a place where he typically lies, and fill it with good stuff. You know, depending on what your dog can eat, I personally use, treats and peanut butter, mm-hmm. and sometimes pumpkin, and all different things. And that really helped, because the dog gets so distracted by the
right.
treat on the floor that, he or she really has almost forgotten that you've left. I also leave on the TV or leave on some sound.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that helps or not. It was just something that I did. But it really, if the dog has to work on a treat or a project like that, it really helps with the separation anxiety to pass. So that's
great tips.
Yeah.
Great tips.
Oh, thanks.
Just so everyone knows, I'm going to give out your website again. We are talking to the incredible Margot Ahlquist, and she is the creator of Paws to Talk. Of course, that's spelled P-A-W-S, Paws to Talk. You can find her on her website, pawstotalk.com. Now, Margot, what about socializing? Because I would imagine for a dog who's coming from a shelter or from yet another foster family before coming to the new home, socialization is going to be super important. What can families
oh, yeah.
do to help with that?
Yeah, socializing is so important. I recommend to people to actually get online for this. Depending on where you live, I think the website meetup.com is a fantastic resource for this. There are dog communities all throughout, and you can find dog playgroups. You can find playgroups for different breeds. You can find all different things. Where you can bring the dog and maybe go on a walk with a bunch of other dogs, maybe have some off-leash activity. You might have to work up to that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I found some local sort of mom-and-pop pet shops that will hold, playgroups. And there's actually a playgroup by me where I live. I live in the Boston area where they have a specific playgroup for shy dogs now, and it's
great.
Fantastic. Yeah, so I actually, Toby's gone and done that, and he actually has he's blossomed. He's gone from being so shy to being off leash to greeting the dogs that come up to us in the dog park. So really, not everyone lives in a city area where there's a ton of dog parks, but get online. There are dog communities, all over the place. If not, maybe try to put something together with your friends or neighbors or family. If they have dogs, get them all together. But, because socializing is very important. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Especially some dogs have come from an environment where they become skittish of other dogs. And so part of our work with this new family member now is going to be not only helping him or her adjust to the family, but being able to develop appropriate behavior with other animals. So really,
absolutely.
Really
cute.
Love these tips, Margot.
Oh,
these are
great.
Wonderful, wonderful tips for families.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about how to become the best pet parent ever, because I would suspect everyone listening wants to be that, the best pet parent ever. And I love that word, by the way, pet parent.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
It's a great title.
It is a great title, and I can't take credit for it. A lot of my friends in the blogging community and the pet community, they don't call themselves owners. They don't call us owners. We are pet parents. So I certainly, And I love it, too. It's really more accurate.
Yes.
You know, I think there was a point in time in our culture and our world where dogs were almost, I don't want to say it, maybe ornamental. You know, it's like you had the white picket fence, you had the family, and you had the dog, too. But that really isn't true anymore, and nor do I think it should be true, because as we're learning and we're learning, there's more and more research coming out every week about how dogs are more and more like us humans. Even though there are vast differences, there's a lot of similarities. So the dog really needs great stimulation. You know, dogs certainly need their rest, but they're not meant to sleep all day long and all night long. So I think, first of all, exercise is key. If you can exercise your dog 2 times a day, maybe a half hour each time, I think you're doing fantastically. And obviously this varies based on what type of dog you have. You know, if you have a bulldog, they may not want to exercise as much, but if you have, you know, a Labrador, you know,
or a Chesapeake Bay Retriever.
That's exactly right. I was just going to say that. You know, they may need more. So it all depends on the breed that you have, but it's just the old saying, you know, a tired dog is a good dog. So rings true. And it's funny, you know, I was just, you know, taking my dogs out this morning and, you know, letting them run free, and they, you can literally see smiles on their faces when it's walk time and then it's play time. So I think it's super important to keep them stimulated through exercise, but also through, you know, jobs or tasks. And I'll never forget, you know, taking our Bella to the vet when she was younger, and the vet saying to my mom and I, you know, she's too smart. She needs a job. Whether it's taking the newspaper in from the front door every day, she said that might be the perfect job for her. So we literally, you know, taught her how to do that so that she would focus on, have something to do. You know, I talked about the Kongs a little earlier. There are all sorts of mind-stimulating puzzles beyond the Kong, including the Kong, where dogs need to, you know, work for treats, and it stimulates their mind, and, you know, they get rewarded. So, and if you are in a position where you can give your dog a job, if you live, you know, depending on where you live, then I say do it. You know, they're not meant to just lay around the house. I think all those things are the makings of great pet parents.
I love the conversation about giving your dog a job, because with our Toby, that's what the behaviorist actually found out. She said our dog was being very destructive and really, we were becoming frustrated because we didn't know how to create a different scenario for our dog. And so the behaviorist came over, and Maggie said, your dog is a dog who needs a job and a purpose. And, you know, I never thought, Margo, about dogs needing a job. I knew there were dogs that were service dogs and dogs who did have jobs, you know, the police dogs. But I never thought of our pet needing a job. And when we got him a job, we started off by doing things like when I would go down to the to do laundry, I would just give him a tea towel to carry down, you know. And once he learned that we weren't playing tug of war, his job was to bring it down to the laundry room. The pride and the confidence that we saw start to build in our dog was incredible. And then when we ran out of creative things like that to do, my husband created for Toby playing hide and seek, and we're doing this now with our new dog. We play hide and seek. And we take his favorite toy is the Kong as well, and we'll go and we'll put him on a sit stay, and then we'll go somewhere in the house where he can't see us, and we take our time. We visit every room, and then we hide the Kong, and he'll sometimes take 5 minutes because, of course, he'll go everywhere where we went, and then he's exhausted. He needs a nap after that.
Right. It's so true. And, you know, you said service dogs. It just brought to mind, you know, another wonderful job for a dog to do, and it's actually a great way to interact with your pet and spend more time with your pet, is to make your dog a therapy dog. Mm-hmm. Now, not all dogs are meant to be therapy dogs, but this is really a wonderful thing. You go through a program of training and testing, and then the dog, you know, will travel with you, go to nursing homes, go to hospitals, go to all different places, and just sort of bring smiles on the faces of people who really need it. And it is work for the dog because they're interacting with other humans. And I think that is a really truly fantastic way for you to spend more time with the dog. The dog has a job and has a purpose. So I'm glad you brought that up, because that's another way as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And there's so many organizations. One of the things that, and I mean, you know this already, Margo, but I didn't. When we adopted Toby, I had no idea how many organizations and associations existed in our community for pet families, for pet parents, for animals. And once I started talking to our vet and our behaviorist, we were introduced to so many resources. One of them, a friend of ours, has a business called Canine Awareness Center, and she has a doggy treadmill, actually three of them, or four of them. And so we would take Toby when we were in her community and let him hang out at the doggy daycare and then go on the treadmills. And, you know, his focus and his confidence improved. So we tried to find ways like that to be engaged, as you said earlier, getting out there with other pet families. And, you know, we really learned that the socialization just wasn't for the dogs. It was for us.
It's so true. It's really true. Yeah. That it's great. Yeah. No, I, you know, share this often, but I'm a part of a weekly hiking group where it's a group of us, and we take our dogs to places that are, you know, okay to be off leash, and the dogs run together through the woods, and we chat and catch up, and it's fantastic. It's really a great thing. So absolutely. You know, there's so many ways that you can socialize, and your dog can, you know, get great socialization as well. So I think it's really about just viewing your dog as something more than just, you know, there for your entertainment. They really are living, thinking, feeling beings.
Yes.
Yeah.
They are. They are part of our family.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
And have so much to offer us. I know one of the things that I'm constantly reminded of, I look into our dog's eyes, and he's got these beautiful soul-filled eyes. It's almost like he knows what you're thinking. He probably does. He's that smart. But, you know, I just look at him and I think, boy, you know, there's so much that animals contribute and give to us without asking for anything in return but love.
That's absolutely, it's so true. Yep. And it's really a wonderful thing when you think about it. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah.
Well, I got to say, Margo, I love what you are doing in the world to bring conversations to us humans, to the pet families, to help us be better pet families and pet parents, but also to really help our pets adjust into the new home. You offered some amazing tips and strategies tonight, right from getting your dog into a routine to bringing your a shirt or a piece of clothing to your dog's bed, so when you have to go back to work, he or she knows you're going to be returning and that scent is still with them, to stuffing the Kong with treats and giving them lots of exercise. And those were just a few of the many incredible wisdoms that you offered us tonight, Margo.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's been a complete pleasure to be here on Positive Radio and be talking to you. It's been great.
And one more time, Margo, let's have you give out your website and where you want people to follow you, stay in touch, and certainly be reading that wonderful blog that is written by two standard poodles named Bella and Dee Dee. And now, of course, Toby is also
yes.
a contributing author on the blog.
He is. So the website is www.pawstotalk.com, pawstotalk.com. And you can also find us on Twitter. We're at pawstotalk1. That's our Twitter handle.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a fan page going on Facebook. So it's facebook.com/PAWSTOTALK. So pause to talk. So yeah,
wonderful.
Catch up
you make it
there.
So easy to follow you.
Oh, thank you.
Well, Margo, I want to say it's been an absolute pleasure. We're going to be having Margo on an upcoming show, folks. We had so many topics when Margo and I were looking at what would we cover on this show. Margo has some incredible topics, so we're going to have her back on the show again, speaking on some entirely different topics and information that I know all our listeners will just get so much information from you. So again, Margo, thanks so much for being on the show. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it too.
Take care.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
And thank you all for joining us on Positive Radio, another wonderful segment with our guest Margo. We're here every week on Positive Radio. Don't forget to check out our new Facebook page. On Facebook, we are Team Toby, that's TEAMTOBY, or the original TeamToby.com is the website. Have a great week. We'll see you next Tuesday on Positive Radio.